So we are going to be addressing a basic definition today of codependence. I just want to assure you before I go into this that we are not defining something so that we can slap a label on you and you can go out of here and go, do I have that or don't I? Do I or don't I? Is that me? Isn't that me? I'm telling you, almost every person that comes through our classes, either in treatment or through our workshops, is like, is that really me? Am I codependent? Does that apply to me? And I just want to assure you that it does apply to you. I hope I don't offend you. You're going to have to get used to me because I just kind of like to lay it down. But we can have kind of fun sometimes too. We don't have to like get all freaky about that. We are codependent, okay? It's not if, we are. And the thing about it is it manifests in each of our lives in a little bit of a different way. So some of us are more have a more dependent style that would attach on to people to get people to fill emotional needs. Other people have a dependency style where they would be more prone to attach on to substance abuse or work or something else, but it is a dependency. So when we use the word codependent, we're talking actually about a dependency style of being attached to something that is that is not addressing our core need, which is to be dependent on God. And I know just saying that you need to be dependent on God, let's get dependent on God, you know, it's like, okay, we've heard that, and now we really want to understand, what does that look like? How do we do that? Why aren't we? And how did he design us to be? And then really what happens from there is symptomatic to our own life. So we have symptoms that are resurrected as a result of, okay, not having things aligned. And so when you're dealing with symptoms, the good thing about when we're going to talk a little bit about symptoms today, the good thing to know about symptoms is that symptoms are just that, they're symptoms. They're reflecting a deeper need for healing. So most people come in because the symptoms have disrupted their life so much, just like if you needed a physical healing. The symptoms disrupt your life enough where you're like, something's wrong. I need to go get some help. And so usually people come in with the symptoms in place and they've been trying to manage the symptoms. So I've been trying to cut the symptoms off. I've been trying to medicate the symptoms. I've been trying to put Band-Aids on the symptoms. I'm doing all these things to try to maneuver the symptoms in my life. But because they are symptoms, it means that they are connected to a deeper issue. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. So that's what we're here to address today. We're here to get to the deeper stuff. Some of it is pretty deep stuff that we talk about in here. But like I said, I do believe that we can try to just kind of be relieved in knowing that God's grace is really present, that it really works, that God's love really does overcome, and that the heaviness of what we're talking about absolutely has a way to be dissolved. It absolutely does. And that's why I like having people in here that have real true testimonies, because they can testify of that. So let's pray. I've already introduced a lot. So let's just pray, and that the rest of our class would be under God's leadership. And Father, we do want to invite you into this time as we just address this topic today, and every person present here and those that aren't here today, God, we just ask that you would just maneuver your work in each heart, that you would just be present and available and active in our lives just as we need you, that we wouldn't have to be cemented by a process or fit into a cookie cutter necessarily, but that you engage with us at our point of need, that you know us, that you know our past, you know our current circumstances, and you know our future, Lord, and you know what you designed us to be. And so human beings, I can't tell each person that what you can. And I just pray that we would learn how to create an atmosphere where we can each have that dialogue with you, where we can know you and we can understand how you work and we can experience intimacy and we can be prepped for realignment, whatever that needs to be in each of us, that we can be ready to have our lives be adjusted and put back into alignment with your purposes. And we just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of alignment, did you ever have a muscle or a bone or a backbone out of alignment, and how like wacky it is? And when you're out of alignment, you have to adjust in other areas to try to deal with it. And the unalignment can really cause a lot of pain. Usually it can press on nerves and bones and muscles, and it can bring all kinds of problems. And essentially, most of us are experiencing something in our emotional and spiritual lives that's out of alignment. And the good news about that is once it gets in alignment, we get to experience what life feels like without carrying a bunch of extra heavy weight. Okay. And that is the beauty. That is the gift of recovery. So what we're going to do in this process is we're going to start to look at what life had been up until now. So everything that happened from the time we were born up until now, we're going to be trying to begin to sift and sort through that. A lot of people will ask, almost every person asks, as a matter of fact, why do I got to look at my past? It's over, it's done. I just want to start over again. After all, the Bible says that we shouldn't look to the past. We need to press ahead and move forward. Why are you making me look in my past? Because let me say, the past has the problem, and the past has the root, and the past is the present when it hasn't been properly dealt with. Okay. So we get to move forward into the new life only when the past rooted issues have been resolved and they are no longer carrying a toxic stuff. Okay. The toxic stuff that comes along a broken experience in human life. And everybody has some element of a broken human experience. Everyone does. And what we want to do is be able to let God sort through that in such a way where we can start to categorize that. How do we get so hurt? How do we get so wounded? I use words like damaged, and sometimes people that have never been in any kind of healing, I really don't feel like tripping up here. Wouldn't that be? It would not be the first time either, believe me. I wiped out, Justin witnessed it. My lovely little precious five-year-old just kicked me right off at the feet, and there I went flying through South Coast Mall or wherever. Anyway, so yeah, we got to break it up with humor sometimes. So it's not beyond me. So how do we get that, though? I hope, you know, if I use words like dysfunctional or damage or anything, I hope that you don't. I can speak for myself. Dysfunctional, damage, I fit all those things. How did that happen? Well, our life experience, really what it does is it begins to message us from a young age. And messages and belief systems get imprinted on us that teach us who we are, teach us who God is, and teach us the general concept of relationships and relationship roles. And with understanding that, it should be easy to understand that if we had a negative messaging experience, we're bearers of negative and toxic messaging. And I believe that where most of our problems do lie is in the area of our belief systems. Now, am I suggesting that once you change what you believe, everything else will line up with it? Well, I do believe in the process of healing that there are other components to that, that your mind, your belief system alone changing instigates a process. It might not be the only thing that you need. Like I'm going to talk a lot about grieving, and I'm going to talk about forgiveness and the impact of forgiveness and asserting your identity, learning who you are. But even all of those are at some level going to be initiated when we start to distinguish truth from lies. And truth, I don't have it in front of me, and I was going to look it up and I didn't. But if you read the words of Jesus, just read through the chapter of John. He presented himself to the world as truth. He was the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is given to us. One of his names is the Spirit of Truth. Do you remember, I think I brought it up in this class, and I'm sorry if I repeat myself sometimes. If I'm teaching more than one class, I sometimes forget what I said to each one. But I think I was saying in this class about Pontius Pilate. Does that ring a bell? No. Okay. Let me just frame that. Jesus was about to get crucified, and Pontius Pilate was like, hey, man, just, you know, I can let you off the hook. I got all the power to let you off the hook. And Jesus was telling him, he's like, who are you? And he says, you know, I am here to bring truth. I am truth. That's how he presented himself to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate just looked at him and said, what is truth? Do you remember in the Passion, that exchange between them? What is truth? Jesus presents himself as truth. He presents himself as light. You know, if you're anything like me, my upbringing was in the church. I was raised as a PK. I was raised under what seemed to be moralistic standards. It wasn't bad. It wasn't alcoholic. It wasn't abusive, anything like that. But the idea of truth was really boiled down to a bunch of scriptures that told me how to live my life. And I was bad if I didn't follow them. Did anyone ever see truth that way? That truth is just this to-do list. Truth is just this formula to follow in life. But really, truth is the revelation of who Jesus is in context to how our lives have been messaged to us. Do you understand that? And that truth is not something that you can put in a list. I can't teach you how to get to that level of truth as a human being. That level of truth is when you encounter Jesus. He literally is the light. He literally is the truth. And we go, well, okay, so I need to read my Bible 6 million more times to get to the truth. No. He's a person and he bears witness to truth. And what he will do, if you come alongside him and you're willing and you're participating in this process, what he will do is he will very much so personalize this for you. And he will bear witness to the truth of what you've been exposed to in your life that was a lie. And he will begin to pick out those lies. And he will distinguish himself as someone who is not the author of that lie. He is the author of truth. And the truth he will bear witness to you and to me and to anybody participating who's willing will be good. It'll be life-giving. It'll be a plan that will have your best interest in mind. However, knowing the truth and walking out the truth are two very different things. We hear the verse, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Who knows that one? Who's heard that one a million times? What does that mean? The truth is not just, I know Jesus. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that even the demons know Jesus. Knowing Jesus, knowing his name, knowing the Bible scripture is not the truth I'm referring to. I'm referring the truth, the revelation. In other words, the heart being able to perceive of who he is. And we being able to see both the magnitude of our preciousness, the magnitude of our worth, the greatness of our design, because we have a magnificent creator. And then the reality of the brokenness and the destruction that can happen in the human life because of how they've been messaged. I've seen women, young women, especially younger women that come through our program. And they start to clean up, and they might even be in our CODA program, either way, whatever they're coming from. But they start to just emerge as this beautiful person. And they had been under all this just chaos and destruction. And I remember this one girl in particular, and this was a long, long time ago. Probably none of our, even most of our current staff wouldn't even know her, that it was the very beginning of when we started operating our treatment center. And she was this beautiful, beautiful girl. And we were concerned for her well-being because she was still very fragile. And she began to assert new messaging in her life. She began to understand who she was. But she was going back home into a very toxic environment, which we were very afraid for her well-being, where she was going. And the people in her environment were very, very unhealthy. I'm talking here over the edge unhealthy. Some of you might have a similar background. And the moment she transitioned into that environment, she was someone else. She was not allowed to be that beautiful girl she had come in touch with. The messaging in that environment told her she was this, she was that, she was that, she was that, and she was that. It was a very abusive, very negative environment. And so she wanted to check out again. She wanted to give up. She wanted to lose her life because she didn't know how to deal with these two pressures in her life, these two truths that were being told to her. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know what your circumstance is, but you've been marinated. You've been given a truce that you've come to believe and walk out and function in. And Jesus is good. He wants to come along and he wants to say, my precious child, that is a lie. That is not who I am. This is who I am. And this is what you were told. And that was a lie too. And this is how you've been walking out, but you've been walking out under the leadership of that lie. And it's time for us to confront it. Okay. And when he does that, when he gets his way, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's what that means. How, I'm only on the first slide, I'm in trouble. How that is going to play out in your life and my life is in complete relation to what your experience has been. So why do we have people write their life story? We do that in counseling, we do that in treatment, and I encourage you to do it in workshops as well. Because you want to start to get in touch with what your messaging has been. We are not going to your past to stay in your past. We are going to go there, we are going to look, we are going to scan, we are going to ask the Spirit of the Living God to expose, to speak to us, to tell us, to show us what that messaging has been for the sole purpose that his mission is to be reinstated in your life as the truth giver, the truth maker, and the freedom provider. That is what we're doing. It's a strategic mission by the Spirit of God to rescue you from the very muck that has been causing you to not be able to walk out your authentic calling and identity in this life. That is residue. We are not residue. Residue is an outside force that comes against us. Okay, we know what physical dirt looks like. Physical dirt. I remember when my kids were young enough where they would come in and their face would be muddy and their hair would be muddy. And that's something that can be removed. And then they're the beautiful little precious right underneath. That's how God sees us. He knows you. He knows me. He knows your design. He knows who you are. He knows what he created you for. He knows your purpose. He knows your value, your worth. You may not know that. Because you've been listening to the residue and you've been looking in the mirror and you've been looking at the residue and you're saying, well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. No, that's not who you are. That's what he wants to remove. And that's what we're here to do. How you interact with that, you know what? I don't want to put any pressure on anyone because some people, this process is yours. I don't want to be negative and be like, yours. I wanted the 1-2-3 plan and get out of here in 4 weeks. I was hoping I could speed it up a little bit. It doesn't really work that way. In fact, I had a major, I'm going to be teaching this in my other class I'm starting on Fridays. I had such a huge breakthrough in my life in the last 2 years. I still can't talk about it without crying. I'm actually afraid to talk about it. I don't know what I'm going to do in my next class. An area of my life that really had not yet been healed properly. It's going to be the area of relationships, which I'm not going to address in this class a lot. Because we have to kind of systematically work through this. It would be too much, okay? And even at that, I'm like, God, show me if there's anything. I don't want to cap him off. I don't want to say, I've arrived. I'm so good now. I'm here with you guys. I don't want to be some hoity-toity teacher up here, and you're looking at me like I'm just so far removed from your life experience. I am not. I'm not. And you know what? I know that there are probably some people that they have arrived and they're out there because they've arrived. I haven't. But you know what? I'll tell you what, my Redeemer, he is powerful and he is awesome and he is mighty and he is good. And he has rescued me from unbelievable places. I can't even believe where I was versus where I am. I could just fall down on my face right now and sob over it because of the work he's done. I still think I have places to go. But you're going to strap on this wild ride only only if you want to. I really had this on my heart. I will post like random Facebook things. We have a little Facebook group when things are really pressing on my heart. And what was pressing on my heart today or this week was, if God, if the treasure of this life, which we're seeking, is wholeness, it's peace, it's power, it's goodness, it's love, it's connection, it's intimacy, just these beautiful things that we're told in the Word of God we can access. And if that's the treasure, and if that's the trophy, and if what is required to access that is that we surrender ourselves, why do so many people not surrender? We're going to be addressing that very systematically too. I'm not just going to be giving you, go surrender. I surrender. Come on, let's go. Let's surrender. What's wrong with you? Surrender. That doesn't work. We're going to kind of look at what some of the reasons why we might. But I want to tell you, he is a transactional God. And I do believe that in the moment, every class in the moment, God can deal with something every time we're in a class together. He can deal with something. Every time you go home and you work on your homework and you seek him, he can deal with something. And you getting free. I haven't even talked about what codependency is, but that's okay. You getting free may not be like you're down in the pit and then you go whoop, like way up in the sky, and it's like 2 seconds straight and you're there and you're good and now you're flying high. It might not look that way. It might be a gradual, it might be one step here and then one step here. So I've made it sound like I got some problems. So let's talk about it, okay? I think that the church and me in this, and I hope you can be comfortable with it. And you know, I feel that God has called us in Christianity to be ministers of reconciliation, and that that is a messy job. And that we are supposed to come together in our messes, not in our pretty beautifulness. We can give God beauty, we can worship him, and there's a beauty to all of that, but that he's actually most honored when he gets to show up in mess, not in perfection. That's his job, that's who he is. And we've kind of gotten that wrong, I think, in this Christian culture. We think we're supposed to show up and come pretty to him. And so I think of this as really like a doctor's office or like a spiritual hospital. And am I saying, you know, does that mean like you have to come here and be like, you're super messed up? You don't have to be anything. If you're not really that messed up and you just want to get a little tune-up job, that's, I'm all good with that. I don't need to make you. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't need to make you, you know, you don't have to be like as dysfunctional as I'm talking about with, that I was. You probably aren't, as a matter of fact. There's a good chance you're not. Good. And I'm good, you know, that's awesome. But I just want you to say that if you are, don't you want access to everything God would have for you? And you know, the first step in that is to be able to just lay it out before him and say, okay. I think that what stops people, and we're going to talk about it in chapter fear, chapter three on fear is fear. Oh, I'm just tongue tangled today. Bear with me. Fear. We are scared of unknown waters. We are scared to release the driving wheel. You think? We might not like the way things are, but we are terrified to have to go and deal with things where we don't feel in control. And most of the people that I work with that are extremely, have been extremely wounded in their life, they will actually say that. They're like, I am too afraid of what's going to happen if I let go. If I have to feel pain, I just don't know what's going to, maybe I won't be able to function. And you know, some people have more woundedness than others. And if you do, I just, you know, I just want to say that God will grace you and he'll put you in a situation where he'll give you what you can bear in that moment. Okay. When we look at the definitive nature of codependence, I just want you to just again to understand it's just to help us start to sift, to sort, to comprehend, to look at messaging, to look at mentalities, to look at mindsets, to expose them. It's not to slap a label on you so you walk out here and go, wow, I'm a codependent, I'm a codependent. And I can't, you know, I know recovery groups do that. I know that they like to, you know, hi, I'm Stephanie and I'm a codependent. I'm fine with that because I know why they're doing it. They're doing that so that you no longer feel ashamed of it. You bring it out in the open. You can just speak it in an atmosphere room. And I'm fine with that. And if you want to do that in your groups, you can do that. And you can say, you know, hi, I'm so and so. And but that's not definitive. You're so and so. You're a child of the living God. And you, like the rest of the world, are struggling with this mentality. Okay. Does that make sense? We want to walk out here framed properly. We don't want to be framed as our problem. We want to be framed by our identity. And if you're like, well, I don't know what that is yet, well, just hang in there because it's going to come. Okay. It's going to come and it's going to be a good frame. So let's look at the codependency. Now that that was like a half an hour intro and I have 15 minutes to talk about codependency, we'll be good though. It's a set of learned coping skills used to function in an environment that is imbalanced and dysfunctional. Something is wrong in this environment. What God designed it to be, which no family's perfect, but there's something very imbalanced in this system. Maybe someone has a problem. Maybe someone has an addiction. Maybe someone is absent. Maybe someone is missing. Okay? It's a counterfeit method of expressing love. And usually in the family system where there's a breakdown of some sort, the codependent we're going to talk about in a little bit is trying to maneuver and trying to change and fix that atmosphere through loving acts, which is really, really, really hard to really it's kind it hurts to think of that, to think of that little child in that atmosphere trying to bring love into it, okay? But it's not it's a whole wrong messaging of what love is. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about just that one concept, okay? It occurs when we look for something from the outside to fill the inner void on the inside, okay? And when that happens, we become what I'd like to call is externally referenced, which I think externally referenced is going to pretty well define perfectionism. It's going to define people pleasing. It's going to define performance-based mentalities. What happens is we begin to define our reality of who we are through somebody out here. It could even be the world system. It could be our families. It could be a relationship. But when we get in what I was talking about bondage last week, it's because we are defining and seeing and filtering the world through someone else's perspective other than what God says and what he sees. Now, does that like, oh, everybody does that? Come on now. Who doesn't do that? I don't do it. And when I do it, it's things really bad stuff starts happening. Why? Because that is the system in our life that needs to change. Without that change, there is no freedom. And so what we're going to maneuver through, because if you just stop being externally referenced, it's one of those things where you can't just stop doing it. It's a whole system that's been created. And why has that system been created? Well, typically the codependent in the family system is the one that is trying to bring positive change. They're the gap fillers. They're the caretakers. They're the ones that are seeing that there's a problem and coming to the site of the problem and saying, here, let me bring something to this. Let me throw my assistance into the mix. Now, that is very well intentioned. And I think that we need to honor the well-intentionedness of that. In other words, I don't know, I've never met a codependent person that has these characteristics that wasn't just a little precious child trying to do their best to survive, trying to cope, trying to deal with a broken family experience the best they could. And that I'll tell you what, that child, if you're willing to deal with what happened, especially if you've been damaged in your childhood, that child desperately is in need of your love and affirmation that they never received when they were that age. Okay, I know that that can seem weird, like, well, how do I do that? We say in program, my husband teaches this, that you're the first child you were meant to take care of was yourself. That is a concept foreign to the codependent because in their world, they didn't matter. Their needs were neglected. What they needed wasn't nourished. And in that malnourishment, they began to feel that they were carriers and vessels to being able to help and compensate and deal with the problems and the issues of other people. what happens is at the heart of codependency, there is a misunderstanding that I'm worthy of receiving care, love, attention, affection. And let me tell you what, guys, it goes deeper than you could ever, ever imagine. The message that that sends to the heart of a young child. We grow into adults. We start to become good artists at hiding the brokenness that that little child could not endure. And we can do it in a lot of ways. We can use a lot of patterns. We can use a lot of fixes to try to overcome that. But somewhere deep underneath all that lies a hurt little child that authentically, genuinely was not given what they needed. And God's after, actually, in rescuing you, God needs to deal with that. He needs to deal with that. And he needs to deal with us at a very vulnerable level. And I know that this can be very scary language, especially when you're sitting in a bigger class like this and you're like, this is just so deep and I don't know. You can process through that as much as you want to in group. There is no pressure. And you can process through most of that with the Lord and just let him show you the heart of what your little child endured, what you were dealing with. Because the messages that were imprinted there are really the first that need to be dealt with. You have messages now, but almost everything, it's just like a physical building. Foundations are at the bottom. And then the structure that you see is built on top. Most people have a hard time dealing with this up here because they haven't understood the level that the foundation is cracked. And the foundation is faulty. And so what we're going to do in this class is we want to get to the foundations. Am I asking you to do something painful? You know what? Seriously, it is painful, but I just want to say the good thing about that is something I'm going to really encourage is a connection to Jesus, to the presence of Jesus, to the peace of Jesus, because the pain that he'll lead you into is a pain that heals. I don't know how pain can hurt so deeply and yet feel good at the same time, but that's the kind of pain he does. He does pain that brings us hope, that injects life into us, that takes that very place that was wounded and makes it whole again. Okay. I know that, you know, that's like, wow, you know, I'm just here to learn about codependency. Do we got to go there? I mean, come on. The reason I go there and the reason I want to go there with you guys is because if you don't go there, all you're still doing is maneuvering and managing that infrastructure that was built on top of it. Okay? If you don't understand that basic foundation aspect of it, no matter what we do to beautify the top, it's not going to work. Does that make sense? I didn't mention it in here, but one of the things that grieves my heart the most, that drives me, that motivates me, I guess you could say, to do this ministry, is that the mindset of codependency is that I am so focused on trying to please, accommodate, fix, and deal with the needs of other people that not only do I have no sense of who I am, but I become enmeshed with other people where what they feel, I feel. What they do, I do. What they see, I see. I don't know. Do you remember the Julia Roberts movie, Runaway Bride? Does anyone remember that? And, you know, he ate eggs, she ate eggs. You know, it's just that that's the mindset. They were actually portraying that issue. They were actually in a movie format. They were showing what a codependency looks like. Even the secular world knows that that's what happens. That's a symptom. No sense of no authentic sense of self. And if I did have to come in touch with that, there's something about it wrong. Why is it wrong? Well, because it was never validated. You know, a little child that's never been validated, even in functional homes, that can happen. I'm not even just talking about full chaos, just the need for that validation, the need for that love. Okay, so where is it developed? We already talked about this, unhealthy family systems where compensation was a means of survival. I've got to take care of everyone else. I've got to fill in the gaps. Lack of love leading to false methods to earn or make up for missing love needs, shame and chronic sense of not being able to measure up. And so That is really what we're after. We are going to come, we are going to attack a war on the shame in your life. We're going to have a very specific chapter related to it, but I want you to understand that every ounce of unworthiness you've ever experienced, every sense of not being good enough, every sense that you're not measuring up, every sense of the need to find affirmation in people, that every ounce of that whole language of a system that would say, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not doing the right thing, all of that is a lie. And all of it is going to need to go. And all of it is going to get replaced with something I'm going to talk a lot about. And that's called grace. We are really, if we're doing anything, and I keep saying that about everything, but we are really looking, the system, the foundation change we're looking to make is to get to that foundation, to get to the lies, to get to the toxic residue of what those lies induced on us, and then to invite Jesus into it and to say, but you know what? But the love of God is sufficient and is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I could ever think or imagine, not conceptually, but that we experience that and that we get to that foundation and we say, you know what? He loves me and he's enough and he's made me worthy and he's made me accepted. And I know you guys know the theology of all that, but I'm talking about walking it out as a living reality where grace just, you just can learn to say, you know what? Grace has got me. Grace has got me. Grace has got that. Grace has got that. Now, the reason why we're doing it in process format is because we can't just all of a sudden just jump over, oh, I'm going to go make a new foundation. I get it now. I just need grace. Okay? It doesn't work that way. I'm going to skip the attributes of codependency. You can take a look at those. And I do want to very quickly introduce kind of the saga, the relational saga, you could say, that takes place when you bring this dynamic into a human relationship. Wow. Most people come into a workshop of this nature because there's a relational problem, there's a relational need in their life. When a codependent has the wrong power system they're attached to, which is people, a person or a system or people, they have an invalidation, they have a disconnect. They have been taught that they need to care for the needs of other to be validated. They have learned a system of earning love. You bring them into a relationship with another human being, and there's going to be a level of chaos right away. Okay, now, all those attributes are good, but in a relationship sense, they end up being attracted and very, very vulnerable to finding the same type of people that they were exposed to in their childhood experience. Why is that? Because that's what normal is. That's what comfortable is. That's what reality looks like. Okay, this is a problem. Because I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, this is the codependent personality. I want to talk to you a little bit about an addict personality. And there's a good chance we have people in the room that are going to fit more of this criteria. And we are, call us crazy, call us insane, whatever you want to call us. We don't think they're that much different, the two of them. They overlap all the time. But let me just tell you a little bit about what a BCAP, what we refer to in the book as a BCAP, what that means. They are someone who is foundationally unavailable. They're emotionally disconnected. A lot of times they have a substance or a pornography or other behavioral addiction. They have emotional problems. And the way that they deal with life is they typically are very detached and a lot of times very controlling. And the control that they use is typically more, I need what I need from you, and I'm going to get what I need to get from you, and you're going to do what I say so I can get what I want to get from you. Now, you have to understand that just as codependency is a system of survival, so is that a system of survival. That is a way that people learn to get their needs met. The problem that happens is that personality basically needs someone to come along and to help them, to come along and to compensate for them, to allow them the opportunity to be irresponsible. typically, I'm not saying that person is necessarily material or financially irresponsible either. They're unavailable. They're absent in their role. And so in order to function in a relationship, they're going to have to be in a relationship with someone who's willing to bear the weight of that, who's willing to make up for the deficiencies that that relationship has in it. And a lot of times the how the conversation will turn is it's not me, it's you. I'm this way because you're making me be this way. But of course that's not true at all. They're that way because of their broken experience, and that's how they learn to cope. And in codependency, we're this way because that's our broken experience, and that's how we learn to cope. Does that make sense? But when you bring them together, something I want to call tragic happens. Because you take those two systems and you bring them together, and you've just recreated the cycle that knows no end to pain and destruction. I know that's heavy stuff. I know that's hard stuff to say, but some of you know what I mean. And some of you have been living in that reality and you don't want to live in that reality anymore. And so you need to understand how the whys of that. And you need to understand that God's purposes are completely contradictory to that. And that you need to understand that there is something that you can, and it doesn't mean you take the person and you throw them out of your life. Oh, I've been here with a BCAP. That's my problem. I'm getting rid of him. No, I tried that one. First AA or Al-Anon meeting I walked into, I looked around at those people and I thought, I refuse to live my life crying in some meeting about some alcoholic guy. That was enough motivation for me to go home and scrap the boyfriend. And I did. I'm not even kidding you. I actually did. I went home from the meeting and I said, I'm done. Guess what? I wasn't done. It would just recycle itself and recycle itself and recycle it because I was like a magnet because I didn't know how to do relationships other than that way. And then I would pat myself on the back. I'm so good and they're so bad. And the cycle would perpetuate. And we're going to talk about enabling, but basically what happens is codependent mentality ends up instead of being able to say, you know what, that's not okay for you to do that. I'm not willing to live with that. I'm not willing to be okay with that. They just go, gosh, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do that. And so instead of a person's wrongful behavior being stopped, it actually gets enabled. It actually is allowed. And it's actually sometimes even a part of the identity of the person doing it, where I need to be needed. I think love is being needed. Because my system is not operating the way God designed. And so in a way, I kind of need to be in that role. And there's no opportunity for real love. There's no opportunity. And so you know what happens? New messages get imprinted, right? So you got the foundational messages in childhood. Now you have a new layer of messages, and then a new layer of messages, and a new layer of messages. Do you see the pattern here? That whole thing has to erupt. And I am not suggesting by any means that, oh, see, I almost fell over. Oh my God. I'm not graceful these days. My husband's demanding that I stop wearing heels. So like, no, I'm wearing heels. I'm too short. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Okay. It has no end in sight. It can go on and on and on and on, unless one person is willing to stand back and say, what the heck is going on? And I want to learn how to be free from this. You don't have to throw another person out of your life to get access to that. You might disrupt the normal that you've had. There might be a time of tension and stress in doing that, but I suggest that you don't just run home and just ditch the husband, the wife, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the whatever, okay? Because you need to first get a new perspective. You need to first get a new filter. You need to see yourself. You need to see them how God sees them. And right now at this point, it would be impossible for any of us, unless you've been at some level of recovery, to do that properly. It's just not even possible. Okay? So what we're going to do, is we're going to go through the process of recovery. And I want to encourage you that we're going to go through this systematically. And this is a life journey. This isn't just a 16-week class. Sorry, it's not. But it's a life journey. And so I just want you to understand that in getting to one thing, you're like, oh, there it is. Got it. And then all of a sudden, six more will show up right before me. And then you're going after, okay, let's go get those. And then all of a sudden, 10 more things show up. If you can understand that right now in this season, that your goal is just to learn how to create a new system as opposed to just trying to fix the things that are wrong, you'll have a lot more peace in this process. That God wants to teach you a new way to do life. It's like when you run a homeless ministry, you know, you can give people fish or you can teach them how to fish. God doesn't just want to rescue you out of the same system. He wants to teach you how to get out of that and teach you how to produce a life that won't allow you to get back into it. And that is his kindness and his love and his mercy that would do that. Okay? And change is hard, you guys. We get enamored in our systems and in our comforts and in our securities. And so there is, you know, and talking to other people that work in similar ministries like this, you know, one thing that we say, what is the gift? What is the key that drives someone to do this? And I would call it desperation. You have to want it bad enough to be willing to pursue it. If someone just kind of said, yeah, you know, I don't really want to get uncomfortable. I just kind of want that relationship fixed. Just give me some handy dandy tools. That's not what we're here to do. Although there are a lot of places where you can just get the functional tools. That's not what we're after in this process. We want the system itself to be changed. So you can just do life the way God intended, and you won't be reproducing that stuff anymore. Okay? Does that make sense? That's all. Not that big of a task, right? All right. Let's pray, and then what we're going to do is break out into our groups, webinar. I'll be giving you instructions, so hang on while I let these guys break out into their small groups, and I'll let you know how we're going to do that. Men, you're going to be going with Justin, and then we're going to have two groups here. We're going to have one group staying here, one group staying here. We're actually going to have pretty small women groups, which we like it that way. I don't really care how you guys break up for women's group. It's just a handful of you would be willing to go down the hall with Jesse, and then a handful of you stay here, just however that works out. I'm not going to try to like pick and choose like, oh, I wonder if you would be. I'm just not going to do that. We'll just like just go whichever place you want to go. And if it's uneven, we'll just try to even it out. And then you just stay in that group because then you get to know each other. And they're very awesome groups. Once you get into small groups, it's so much easier to process what I'm saying in a group as opposed to just being like, oh my gosh, you know, how can I even speak? You know, I don't even know what to say. In your small groups, you're just going to kind of break that down to a real level. Okay. So let me pray with you and then we'll get going. Father, we do welcome and invite you into our own processes, into our own scene, into our own foundational needs, Lord, whatever that might look like, we do welcome you. And Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to be activated. We need you to be allowed. And I just pray that you would help us to see if we've allowed anything into our lives or what we've held on to as truth or what we've been messaged that has prohibited us from seeing ourselves as you see us and being able to live this life as you intended. God, we have hope today. We come to you with hope. We come to you with the hope that you are the healer. We don't want theology, Lord. We want reality. We need to know that you are real and that you can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so I just pray that the spirit of faith would be released on this group. I pray that they would be able to actually experience your peace, that it wouldn't just be a word they read in the Bible, but they could actually experience that you would start revealing yourself to them personally, that you would give them words, whether it was in their Bible reading or devotions or a message, whatever it is, that would just so specifically speak to them that they would know that you are passionately interested in their well-being. that you are after them, that you desire relationship with them, that you desire to bring full healing in their life. And so we submit it to you. We praise you for it. We give you all the grace and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.